Welcome to the Grow Your Law Firm podcast, brought to you by Pilma. This podcast helps lead lawyers to more growth, profit, and freedom. Here is your legal marketing expert and host, Ken Hardison.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Ken Hardison, and welcome to another episode of Grow Your Law Firm. And today we have the honor and pleasure of having Erica Cavanis. I think it's called Thrive Concepts.
Yes.
Oh, I got it right. Good deal. But more importantly, I call her the Colby Guru, and we'll get more into that later. So welcome to the show, Erica.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So, Erica, tell us about you and your company and what it does and what you do. But first, I kind of want to know how you got to where you are now. Tell us your story.
Absolutely. So with Thrive Concepts, it was really born from the premise of, you know, I really want to thrive and not just survive. Too many things I think in this life are, you know, we're kind of just eking by. Many who are close to me know that I lost my mother back in 2017. And this concept was just a huge theme in my life growing up with her. And the company was essentially born from that principle and the things that she instilled in me my whole life. And so it's one way that I can really honor her memory and also do what I love and what I know my God-given purpose is, which is to make an impact, specifically in the legal industry, which has become my heart over the years. And that's, you know, like I said, one way I can make at least a small impact with others and still honor her.
So how did you get started did you go to school? Did you go right out and start working with a law firm, or did you go work? What'd you do?
Yeah. So I come from a paralegal background. That was my first gig out of school. And I worked for a social security and bankruptcy law firm. And from there, I actually was going to go to law school. I got accepted into law school and I ended up not going at the last minute. I had a really strong pull in my heart to go into more of the training, coaching, consulting realm. And so I proceeded to do that for about 7 years on the medical side and then switch gears into the legal side. So it was really, I think, a perfect, you know, marriage of the two industries, considering, you know, how much of the medical side overlaps, especially on the personal injury side. Of course, I work with, you know, other practice areas as well. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that have been given to me over the years that have led me to where I'm at. I just couldn't be more thankful.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know what you do, but I want our listeners and viewers to know. So what do you do to help law firms?
So I specifically come in and help them really get clear on where it is they want to go and help them identify really the key players, the who, to help really execute that vision. And there's different tracks and modules, if you will, that we can take to get there. I really have a heart for working with leadership teams and instilling that sense of, you know, that stakeholder mindset and that sense of ownership, helping them with the accountability piece too, which is a great thing for law firm owners because I can then free up, you know, some of their time and resources by really working one-on-one specifically with their leadership teams.
And, I know I hired you about a month ago and specifically because of Colby, I saw you at I think it was the Business of Law when I was talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taken the Colby test, I guess you call it a test, back in 2009 when I was in strategic coach with Dan Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was intrigued by it, but then, you know, life gets in the way and I'm doing all this other stuff and kind of into these other tests of people. But, you know, when I got certified as a scaling up coach with Vern Harnish, one of the things he really preached was, you know, no great business, no highly successful business was ever built on the back of just average employees. And you got to have leadership and you got to have a great team that works together and a lot of A players. And then the deal is, how do you pull all these people together? Because we all got unique strengths. We all got unique weaknesses, I call them. I mean,
areas of improvement.
Yeah, okay. I'll just call them weaknesses. And so I was really interested in seeing how my people would score. And I wanted them to understand the concept of it. Because I've seen you speak before, and if you put together the wrong pieces of the puzzle to create a team, they can kind of fight against each other, right? I mean, not like physically fight, but it's like, you
conflict.
Know, it's like trying to stick two magnets together. When they start pushing apart, they can be very strong pulling individually.
Yeah.
But when you put them together, they push away, you know, so. Tell me about Colby, how it works, what it is, and how it can help law firm owners.
Yes. So I have really loved working with you and the Pilma team recently on this. And anyone who knows me knows that I really believe Colby is an invaluable tool. I've been working with it for going on 12 years now, and it never ceases to amaze me on how accurate it is in terms of really predicting how we operate, how we take action, our instinctive strengths. And really another invaluable benefit in my book and from my experience is role alignment. And really, you know, while there's not one specific Colby score that fits a certain role, you know, attorney, paralegal, case manager, receptionist, that's not the name of the game. It really helps us identify our operational strengths. And we can look at trends of what does success look like for this law firm owner? And we can then match Colby's strengths to those specific roles and really look at, you know, if there's conflict, if there's a communication barrier between certain folks in a law firm, for example, there could be a reason for that that's deeper than, you know, personality or anything that we're used to measuring in previous assessments that, you know, you might be used to. This goes a bit deeper and really looks at our, you know, what are our operational natural gut instincts that help us take action every day, deal with problem solving, approach the problem solving process rather, and even deal with risk and uncertainty. So someone, for example, you might have someone in a meeting, for example, even a team leader who might have a lot of questions or, you know, raising their hand and saying, you know what, are you sure that's going to work? Or, you know, do we have all the information? Do we have a process for that yet? And now without Colby, you might think that that person was being, you know, resistant or, you know, not really bought in, right? But really their Colby strengths could be coming to the surface here. And that could be a huge indicator that they might be a little bit different than the person leading the meeting. And that's okay. There are no weaknesses in Colby. That's the beauty. That's all based on our operational strengths and what we really gravitate towards instinctually.
So what are the four, you know, I remember it from my ticket, but also you give me my refresher course.
Yeah. So there's four action modes we're assessing in Colby. The first is the fact finder. And that's how or to what extent do we gather and share information and details. The second one is follow through, measuring how do we deal with organization, design, and patterns, and really marrying the past, present, and future together. So that process orientation. It's not looking at, are you good at following through on something or completing something? It's how you really incorporate process and patterns and organization in that process. The third is quick start. And that is how we deal with risk and uncertainty. And looking at from a high level, do we prefer to brainstorm and kind of throw something at the wall and see what sticks and operate accordingly there? And then the last one is the implementer action mode. And that is how we deal with space and tangibles. So people who score higher on the implementer mode, for example, they tend to want to show versus tell and have a handcrafted sort of solution or example, a demonstration to show versus just telling from an abstract point of view.
Yeah. And so how can law firm owners use this in their practice?
So one of the best ways to get started, and everybody has to follow this same path, is taking the Colby A index, and that's going to give you your personal assessment of your Colby score. And that is going to help us not only understand our own operational strengths, but when we compare those side by side with the team members taking it in that firm, we can really look at that team synergy and where certain conflict might be coming into play, right? So if you ever have, I always say, you know, raise your hand if you have people problems. And most, you know, everyone laughs and, you know, we make a joke, you know, no one has people problems, right? That's not true. We all have people problems, and that's not a bad thing. But you utilizing the Kolbe assessment is one of the best ways to really understand where that could be coming from. So it's not necessarily that their attitude is poor or that their intelligence is low, because Kolbe has absolutely nothing to do with intelligence or personality. It's our operational strengths and how we take action. So if someone, you know, is just not cutting it, just not getting it for whatever reason, or we feel like their values or, you know, their engagement or buy-in is off, it really could just be misplaced efforts that aren't, you know, that aren't in line with their particular Kolbe strengths, but they're having to do that to meet the requirements of that role on any given day. So one of my favorite exercises that we do in the training is to have team members write their first and last name with their dominant hand, right? And that's very easy. Everybody kind of laughs and is like, okay, what are we going to do? Something more, a little bit more impactful here. And then I have them switch hands and write their first and last name with their non-dominant hand. So the object lesson there is, can you physically do it? Yes. But if I asked you to write your, you know, go through your whole day rather and write with your non-dominant hand, you could physically do it, but what would you feel like at the end of that day? Right?
Right.
A little bit stressed, maybe a whole lot stressed, right? Your attitude would probably suffer. It's not natural. It's not comfortable. So we want to get people really working in line with their natural strengths.
Okay. So it doesn't measure intelligence or personality.
Yeah.
So do you recommend these people taking the Kolbe test before you hire them?
I absolutely do. So again, it's not a pass or fail, good or bad, better or worse situation, but it's going to give us some insight and, you know, aha moments, if you will, on where is this person best going to fit in and create the most value. And, you know, we're looking at in the consulting and coaching world, right? We're looking at bottom line results. We don't, you know, while it's good to have that feel good and motivational aspect, at the end of the day, that's not all we're looking at. We're looking at how is this going to drive bottom line results and team performance and ultimately increase, you know, our revenue and profitability. When you have people working in line with their natural strengths and they're more fulfilled and they really, you know, they have that glide factor, you know, where they just feel like they can conquer the world and they're not getting hung up on, you know, why doesn't this feel natural to me? Why isn't this working? When we have people working in that most of the time, then that's where the magic really happens. So we always want to say, you know, we can't use Kolbe as an excuse to say, I can't do something, but we want to utilize it as a strategic tool.
You know, I was doing masterminds last week in Key West,
mm-hmm.
and one of our members was talking about a person they hired. Says really nice, really, you know, a team player and all that, but they were just dumb. I mean, and I said, well, did you test them? And so my question to you is, what would you want to give somebody a test to test their, if whether or not, I guess, their IQ, their ability, their smartness?
Yeah. So in the hiring process, I always recommend, you know, utilizing multiple assessments. And on the IQ side, there are many firms that utilize things like Wunderlich. And there's several others. That's the most common one I see. There's not one assessment that's the end all be all. You want to vary that and look at really what does success look like in this role to you? And then we can really piece together the appropriate hiring process that makes sense to really be able to fulfill that.
Yeah. How about the DIS test? I hear people doing the DIS test. Would you use that? And if so, for what?
I think the DISC is valuable. I have limited experience with that one, so I certainly don't want to give poor information or speak out of turn on that. So I think really the best approach is sitting down with some sort of third party trainer or coach and really first identifying what roles you're looking to fill in the short and long term. What qualities are you really looking for in those roles, first and foremost? Who do you already have on the team? Have they already taken previous assessments? We really want to, you know, utilize that and use that as a North Star, for lack of a better term, to look at what does success look like in this role? Who has done this role successfully already? and use some of those clues to help formulate the best hiring process, formulate the best hiring process with the best tools, and be strategic in that way.
Yeah. And I would think this COBE test would help you manage people because you kind of know what their strengths. You can put them in situations where they win instead of fail, I would think.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better, Ken. It's so valuable in looking at where people are going to really thrive. One of my favorite words, of course, with my company, looking at how are they going to utilize their strengths most often. You know, we're all going to have to do things that we don't love doing, we don't like doing, we're not actually good at sometimes. That's just part of life. But if we're operating in our operational strengths and our unique abilities on any given day for, you know, let's say 80% of the day, we're probably going to be feeling good. We're going to make a huge impact.
Yeah. And you know, this COBE deal, it's not new. I mean, it's been around for years and years, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been actually around for over 40 years.
Well,
yeah, it's an incredible company. If you know me, you know how enamored I am with it. And I'm so grateful to be a certified consultant all these years. I learn something new every year, honestly, in working with each new team that I work with. And even when I go back and retrain new team members on the same team with my clients, I always learn something new. I just think it's an absolutely brilliant tool. It's so unique because it really highlights the conative part of our minds. Conative is how we take action, our doing. So it's really unique. And I just can't say enough good things about it in terms of the value that it really drives in businesses.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody, I think I'm right on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to be speaking at the summit in May, right?
Yes. Yes. Really looking forward to it. We'll be talking about this, you know, this issue and really honing in on how it can drive growth specifically. So we'll be getting into more of those specifics with some really good hands-on strategies that you can employ right away and get immediate results with it.
Yeah. So if you hadn't made plans, you need to go ahead and register so you can see Erica really get into this a lot deeper. And also you can pick our brain there, you know, in the podcast, I'm the only one that gets to ask the questions, which can be great and can be terrible sometimes. Because I try to ask what I think the listeners would ask, but I don't always get it right. Right. I mean, you know, I don't think of everything. I'm not perfect. So, I'm looking forward to that. That's, May the 16th through the 18th, if I remember correctly, at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. So, pretty time of year down there. It's not too hot yet.
Is it 14th through 16th?
I think it might be. It is the 14th through the 16th.
I just wrote because I have it on my calendar. I saw it the other day.
Yeah. So you know more than I know. And as you know, I'm not a weeds person, as my COBE reflects.
Yes.
But I know I handpicked every speaker, so I do know every speaker. I think I do. And
awesome.
I try to bring a wide net.
Yeah.
Not just marketing, which is like half of it's marketing and half of it's management, because what I found over the years, people join Pilma to start with because they can't get enough cases. And then they get the cases and then they can't handle the volume and they can't find the right people. They can't get enough people. They can't get the people working together. And then, you know, they be careful what you wish for because you got to handle it too.
They need the next step and they need the next, you know, how do we deal with this capacity, right? And how do we grow from
how can you scale? Yeah. So what words of wisdom would you give lawyers out there? And then we'll ask for your contact information and stuff. What, you know, if you had to tell a lawyer two or three takeaways that they should get from this podcast, what should they be?
The first is really do the work on where your team is at right now in terms of communication, productivity, and really getting initiatives across the finish line. There could be a strong conative issue there. And conative, again, is what COBE is. The conative part of our mind is what COBE is measuring. So before you're quick to say, you know, this person, you know, doesn't have X, Y, or Z, let's consider getting them assessed with the COBE to see if that could shine a light on some of the friction or that conflict that we talked about earlier. Like I said, it doesn't mean that person can be a good fit long-term if they're struggling, but there's a strong possibility that it could add value to this whole conversation and process and seeing really where they could shine in the firm.
So if somebody wants to get up with you or discuss Colby more, how you can help them, how's the best way for them to get up with you, Erica?
Absolutely. So again, I'll be speaking at the summit with you all in May, really looking forward to that. My email, my direct email is always the best place to get in touch with me. It's erica@thriveconcepts.org. You can also find me on LinkedIn and shoot me a message there, and would be happy to discuss this with you. I absolutely love it, as I hope you can tell throughout this interview. I become more and more convinced of the value that it adds to law firms and their overall growth, honestly, every single week that I work with it.
Yeah. And this applies to any business, but I mean, you know, this is about law. I mean, my niche is law firms.
Yeah.
But anybody that owns a business, this will help them if they got employees. And most
absolutely. If you have
employees.
Yes. If you deal with people in your life, Colby can benefit you.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, Erica, I look forward to, we had a training session tomorrow, if I remember correctly. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you again, not sooner, May the 14th through the 16th.
Yes.
In New Orleans. We're going to learn a lot of stuff and we're going to eat a lot of oysters and maybe even have a hurricane or two. So anyway.
Hey, you never know. One in Rome, right?
Yeah, that's right. So take care. Until next time, this is Ken Hardison, dedicated to your success.
You have been listening to the Grow Your Law Firm podcast, the podcast that leads lawyers to more growth, profit, and freedom. Go to growyourlawfirm.com to find more ways to market and manage your law firm. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts.